Okay, I was talking about financial pain. I was talking about the cost of living as an issue in Victoria. It was dodged last night, the debate. Neither side was really willing to address it. They've thrown things out. Oh, you can have free tampons, you can have $2 travel, you can have all these things. But nobody will talk about debt. They just won't talk about debt. They want to pretend it does. Well, no, Matthew Guy wanted to criticise the debt, in fairness, and say, look, it's going out to $165 billion and it's massive. It's the biggest we've ever had. All those things true. But he doesn't really explain a plan to get it down. He's got his debt cap, but, you know, he doesn't explain how you get it down, to my mind, without increasing taxes and cutting spending. I think both are on the table. And as soon as one of these people get into the Premier's office, they'll tell us that. But the headline in the Fin Review today, Victorians get poorer under Labor's Andrews as state debt balloons. That's quoting ABS figures. On the line is Stephen Anthony, an economist, managing director at Macroeconomics Advisory. He's worked in Federal Treasury. He was once the chief economist also for Industry Super Australia, so he has extraordinary credentials. Stephen Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
In simple terms, how have people in Victoria suffered?
Well, their living standards have declined over 20 years because we had a fourfold annual increase in population. We took in too many people too fast, and if you think about each one of them, the average of the skills of those people must have declined. So, you know, our living standards overall fell. And when we found ourselves packed to the rafters with people, we then started spending like drunken sailors on new infrastructure to, you know, move them around so they could get to work, get to school. And a lot of the stuff we spent on was very low quality. You know, the prototypical example would be massive train stations that replaced old modest train stations that did exactly the same thing. So you put it all together and your living standards fall.
How does that hurt me at home? I mean, these figures that say the only one we're ahead of is South Australia, explain those to me. What do they show?
Well, you know, South Australia is pretty much always been dead last, so we're just about to fall under them. Now, so why are we in this predicament? Well, rather than raising the kind of average stock of our capital when we took immigrants into the state, or when we spent on projects, rather than pick things that generated revenue and started new businesses, we've obviously somehow managed to shrink the pie, and because of it, there's less to go around for everyone.
But in dollar terms, what does that mean for me at home?
Well, what it means is that you're going to end up paying more taxes, and what it means is you're probably going to end up paying higher interest rates, when you want to borrow, and our sort of collective prospects are diminished because, you know, we're not running this economy very well.
Income. What about household income? What are the figures there?
Well, this is saying that everybody is worse off, Neil. The average has declined from about $60,000 per capita per person down to about $50,000. You know, now
over how long? I mean, that's a huge drop. Over how long?
Well, this is over a period of 20 years. So if you think about this in real terms, per capita, we're all worse off. And basically what it says is we're just not working smarter. We're not making best use of all those wonderful resources that we have available to us. And essentially we've brought too many people here too quickly who have too low skills.
So what would you do? You're Premier. What do you do?
Well, very simple. Every dollar you spend, you have to earn an economic return on, and you only bring people to the state to fill skill vacancies or, where there's genuine humanitarian need, but nothing else. Slow things down for a while.
Has either side presented that you've seen in this argument, their economic arguments for the election?
Well, there's better and there's worse. And, better is spending across a variety of activities where there's a definite need, and having more modest policy objectives. Worse are things like digging giant holes that cost a mozza and don't actually address a direct policy need or the most glaring policy need.
What do you think of suburban rail, Luke?
Well, that's the one we're talking about. Now, look, the reason that's, you know, the poster boy for, you know, that's the Blue Ribbon loser of fiscal policy in Australia, right? That's just dreadful.
Well, it's the worst, you're saying it's the worst fiscal policy in Australia.
Oh, there's no question. It is the worst infrastructure project of all time. It is a disgrace. But if you just want to think of why that is, Victoria has all sorts of pressing needs in the outer suburbs for transport, but that's not where the money's being spent, is it?
So what would you do with it? We're not going to know before we vote what it's costing.
Well, we've got a pretty good idea what it's costing. The first leg of it is going to cost $35 billion at a minimum.
Yeah.
Now, we know that that will blow out. The second leg will cost something similar, and we know that that will blow out. Now, all up, that looks like over $200 billion. Now, you could buy nuclear submarines, air warfare destroyers, and potentially build the Snowy Hydro scheme again for that money, you know? So what I'm saying is that is just illogical. You could get the same outcome with that money. Sorry, you could get the same outcome by spending 1/100th of that money by just buying electric buses and shuttling people around, you know, the middle ring to the airport.
What you're saying sounds like what Matthew Guy should have been saying last night. Are you part of the Liberal Party?
No, I'm not part of the Liberal Party, and I've always eschewed political involvement my whole life. You know,
I don't mean to offend you, but what you're saying is very savage on the Labor government. You're saying they've mucked it up for 20 years. They've been there 19 of the past 20.
Well, look, you know, Victoria has had very poor political leadership over the last two decades. There's just no question, and because of it, our kids are going to have declining living standards. That's just not good enough.
What about selling the port? Has that worked? Has that helped?
No, that was lunacy.
Is this the second most lunatic decision? Was it?
Well, the thing is, if you sell these things the wrong way, you end up paying for it in some other way, right? So the thing is, privatisation might make sense if you don't charge the person who buys the asset so much that they then shift that cost onto every traded good that comes through the port, therefore raising the cost for everything that we try to export or import.
Well, you're a Melburnian. Do we have a better hope for the future under either side? Which way do we go for the future?
Look, I'm not a political commentator, and I'm not going to tell people how to vote.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is the record, the fiscal performance of the Andrews government is disgraceful. Now, who knows what Matthew Guy can achieve, but Daniel Andrews, in terms of his fiscal track record, is disgraceful.
When you and your economist mates sit down in your economist club and drink economist drinks, does everybody agree with this, or is there disagreement?
No, there's no disagreement.
Every economist in the country probably thinks we're a basket case.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Sorry?
That or not. Look, there are people who are straight shooters like me, and then there are a lot of people who work for various organisations, and, of course, they're muzzled to a large extent. But the bottom line is that nobody's buying what Dan's selling.
Thank you very much, Stephen Anthony. Managing Director, Macroeconomics Advisory, has worked in Federal Treasury and was Chief Economist for Industry Super Australia. And it's a bit rude to ask him his political allegiance, but the way he was talking, I thought, oh, geez, this is a bit stronger script than Matthew Guy is using. He's not a political analyst. He's not involved in supporting any political party. But, by geez, he's just belted the government around the head as an independent and highly respected economist. Gee, you don't become chief economist of Industry Super Australia lightly. And he was also involved with also worked at Federal Treasury. Now, that was under the Conservatives. I imagine I'll check that. But even under you're working in Federal Treasury, you're part of the public service. He's not working in John Howard's office or whoever it is, whenever he was there. It's not like he's a committed advisor. That's quite extraordinary stuff.